At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
Well, I'm doing even better, because today kicks off the beginning of a wonderful, wonderful partnership. And if you don't know by now, we're going to introduce what I think is one of the best segments in radio that I've had the pleasure to do, and that's to introduce my good friend and a man who probably needs no introduction, none other than the grave digger himself, Mr. Gilbert Brown. Good morning to you, Gilbert. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Wisconsin. Wipe the dust out your eyes, because it's Monday morning and let's go, baby.
So for those of
good morning, Earl.
Good morning, Gilbert. And for those of you who don't know what's going on, this is the beginning of the Under the Helmet with Gilbert Brown, which is going to happening every Monday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. And so we are honored. I'm honored beyond words to have the grave digger across the table from me, man. You know, people know you and from your football prowess.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that people find out that there's something other than football that moves Gilbert Brown. And that's why I think it's so critically important when we do this, that people get to understand who you really are. Because in most instances, you know, you're all over the place. You're on radio everywhere. And how often do people ask you about the essence of who you are?
Earl, you are very long-winded in the morning. You know? Why don't you just cut it and get to the point, man? God damn. Anyway, man, first of all, I have never been in studio over here, Earl.
Okay. Right?
So I come over here. It is too many windows over here. We are looking at the street, and there's too many windows over. I can visit, like, a nice summer morning. It's nice outside. Maybe I'll put some speakers outside. People walking past, they'll stop and say, hey, how you doing? It is too cold to have all these windows and talking crazy in front of all these windows. So I'm going to keep my crazy whenever I'm in studio to a minimum.
So let me say this. So I don't have anything to do with the windows.
I see.
And and I think it's kind of refreshing.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, to see all these folk walking past.
I appreciate
that. And every morning they walk by and they wave.
They wave at you, Earl?
Yeah. It's kind of like the animals in the zoo, right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I've been like that all my life. Look at them. Hey.
So what we want people to understand is we are going to be taking calls.
I love calls.
Gilbert loves calls.
I love talking to my fans.
So our phone lines are always the same, 844-967-2789, if you at any point in time want to join our conversation.
Please.
So Gilbert, you're a guy who, and I asked you this last night before we even decided to do, you know, what we're going to talk about this morning, about you're this great football player, man. When did you realize your talent in football? I mean, what age were you? What grade? When did you realize that you were this great football player?
I never played Little League. Never,
oh, you didn't?
Never played Little League football. Never. First time I ever played football was in high school. My brother, I'm a mama's boy. Everybody knows I'm a mama's boy. So I set up on a mama all the time and ate my pies and cakes and stuff and everything. So, you know, my brother would say, man, you too big to be sitting here doing that, man. You need to come on. Go with me, man. So my football career, I owe it to my brother, because without him, I'd still be under mama eating cakes and pies at this age. So I started to come in on my own, and I started understanding the game. And I saw, as a young guy, that if you want to be great, you got to study the game. You can't just play the game. You got to study the game. You got to know the ins and outs of the game. And I started at a young age because it was very intriguing to me. So at age 14, one day I was sitting on the porch with my mama after school, and stuff was over with. We sitting there watching the cars because she'd had a long day. She tired. She got to take care of 5, 6 kids. And sometimes the neighborhood. Everybody coming over to Mama Brown house to get something to eat. I told her at age 14, I said, you know what, mama? She tired. She said, what, baby? She just want me to go on back in the house and give her peace. But I'm a mama's boy. I don't let her do that. I said, you know what, mama? Age 14, I said, I'm going to play professional football. I'm going to buy you the biggest house. And you ain't going to never have to work a day in your life. She said, oh, baby, that's nice. That's nice. People don't understand. I'm a mama's boy. I try not to lie to my mama. I'm going to put them blinders on, and I'm going to do whatever I got to do. Do or die to make this goal. And I did it.
You know, 14 years old is awfully young to know that this is the goal that you set. You know,
hey, people Earl, say how come goal. Your mic sound better than mine? What did they kind of turn my mic up, man?
It sounds better because my voice.
No. I got. Wait a minute, Earl. I got women calling me like, oh my God. You big daddy for real. You sound like little Earl the squirrel on your microphone.
Well, you know, I've got this matinee voice.
Oh my God. And, I hear you. Know. Okay, let's get back to the crutches, Earl. Please.
So what I'll say to you is, man, 14 years old, and I know where I was at 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I love football.
Yes.
But I didn't, I didn't have a football body.
Yes.
So I was a scrawny kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But I would have loved to have been able to do that. But to have that goal at such a young age, mm-hmm, and to manifest it into the reality of it is, you know, a lot of boys say that. Mm-hmm. You made it happen.
It's the determination, man. It's the drive. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're going to have stuff fall in front of you on your journey. Either you're going to push it out the way, kick it out the way, step over it, but you got to do it. A lot of guys get lost along the way. You know, if it's, oh, I can't do it, I give up, or it's, oh, this is too hard. Because I'm going to tell you, my struggles was math. And once I got to the University of Kansas, oh, my God. Let me tell you how to do it at the University of Kansas. You come in. I don't know if they changed it, but you come in, you go into math class, you sit down, they give you, first I'm like, why is all these different people in this math class? And why, it's not really like a class. And they give you a book, and they say, okay, here's lesson one, here's lesson two, here's three. Tests are on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Goodbye. There's no teacher. They give you a study line to study for the test. And you got to do it all by yourself. So you can come in 12 times on Tuesday and take the test and pass until you pass it. But there's no teacher.
So it was on you.
It's on me. They just throw it in your lap. So I'm like, now I'm a dude from Detroit. I ain't the only white people we see are the teachers. We might have one white dude in our class, right? So when
in Detroit,
when I get right to Kansas,
no black people
in sight, unless you're on the team, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh my God, it's a culture shock already, you know what I'm saying? But I put those blinders on. I got my goal. I was not a great student in high school. I might have squeaked a 2.0. I get to the University of Kansas. I got to get my goal going. If I don't be eligible, I will not play. I end up being academic all Big Eight because I'm driven on the field and off the field to get to my goal.
You know, man, it's your story is not unique from the standpoint that there are many successful African-Americans who, mm-hmm, in school wound up with graduating with a 1.6, 1. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then wound up after that doing some magnificent things. What do you attribute that to, man?
My mama. I mean, everything I do, I wake up every morning and I say, Lord, thank you for this day. And I say, now that's how am I going to make my mama proud today? That's what I do. And everybody say, well, who's your role model? Is it, this guy, that guy? Mm-mm, it's my mama. Because I see her. I can touch her. I see her wins and her falls. I can see her struggles. I can see everything. So that's my role. Always been my role model. There's no one greater than my mama to me.
You know, man, I don't know if it's different with people of color,
mm-hmm.
but my mother impacted my life. 13 kids, right? And the sacrifices that they make
yes.
of their lives
yes.
to you know for all of us and mm-hmm. yeah, very very special people, man. But
absolutely.
But so your mother had this major impact in your life.
Yes.
I met a coach. Was that your first coach, Coach Dozier?
Yes, Coach Dozier from ninth yeah. grade on to yes.
Your coach in school. Let's talk a little bit about him and the impact he had on your life.
He had if mom is one, Dozier is 1A. Earl, I am. I'm not a crying man, but when I talk about him, I get lumped up, man, because he means the world to me, or meant the world to me. He coached a lot of great people. Pepper Johnson, New York Giants, yeah. Jerome Bettis, Kevin Brooks.
So hold the thought, man. We've got to go to a break. Our phone numbers are open at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right, if the head right, Biggie there, and I. Papa been school since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruce Cruz who? Do something to us. Talk, go through us. Girls want to us, wanna do us. Screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch. Clutch, hey, I squeeze
my mic on. Yeah. Mic check, mic check. Hey, let that breathe. Come on. I can't find the car, they buy. Let it breathe.
I kind of like that. Let it breathe.
Let it breathe.
All right. Welcome back.
I'm going to teach you some new stuff.
Welcome back to Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger himself on the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is mm-hmm. the phone number. Certainly, if you want to have some dialogue with the Grave Digger, now is your shot. You know, man, before we went to break, we're talking about Coach Dozier.
Yeah.
And you lost your dad at 19.
Yes.
And he filled a hole. He filled a void.
Built it. He knew that I needed some structure, somebody like that. I mean, my mom did it all. And I don't talk enough about my dad. You know what I'm saying? My dad was a hell of a guy. You know, he was a auto worker, Jefferson Assembly Plant in Detroit, you know, and people ask me where did I get my love of cars. That was from him. You know, he always had a Mopar somewhere purring.
Oh, okay.
Ready. He was a drag racer in his spare time. So me and my brother would be a part of his pit crew. You know, if he needed an alternator, we'd go sneak and get him an alternator. You know, we'd use their alternator. And after he's done with it, we'll sneak it back to the camp where the alternator came back from. But you know, everything is a growing and learning lesson in life, man. And Coach Dozier to me is an exceptional human being, and I just lost him at the beginning of the year from dementia, which is a horrible disease.
You know, Gilbert, I had the pleasure and honor of getting to know Coach Dozier as you and I in your volunteer football camp in Milwaukee for many young boys over, I don't know, how many years was that, 7, 8 years?
That I did the camp?
Yeah.
Are you kidding, Earl?
I don't know, man.
I've been doing that camp. COVID messed everything up.
Yeah.
But before COVID, man, I think I was on year 13.
Oh, yeah. Okay, because I know I was there for quite a few of them.
Yeah,
I didn't realize.
Yeah, you're getting senile, you old laser. we need to get
hey,
you man, right,
hey,
man.
Time flies so fast.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
but,
Lord.
But I just, for people who don't know, it wasn't just you. You said Pepper Johnson, of all pro football player.
Dozier did basketball. We had Doug Smith that went to University of Missouri and then went on to play for the Dallas Mavericks. He coached football and basketball. So, excuse me, myself and Kevin Brooks played for the Dallas Cowboys. Wow. Sylvester Wright played for the Philadelphia Eagles.
But you're going down all these names and you leave out Hall of Famer, the bus, Jerome Bettis.
You know, Jerome Bettis, I'm not leaving him out. His name speaks for us. I told him he's the luckiest something I ever seen in my life.
Why would you say that?
First of all, I always tell Notre Dame, if it weren't for me blocking for him, y'all would never have him, so I need some money. Second of all, you play a beautiful career in Pittsburgh, but you end he ends up Super Bowl, Detroit. Remember, Pittsburgh played that Super Bowl in Detroit.
Yes.
When did they ever play a Super Bowl in a cold weather place? Okay? So he played the Super Bowl in Detroit, hometown. Wins the Super Bowl, hometown. Retire with a Super Bowl ring from the hometown, from the Pittsburgh Steelers. OMG. Are you for real? Why couldn't I have something like that?
Well, you know, he played the glamour position.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you. You know. Thank you. That's why I say my position is not now. I gotta make things happen. So they say, why you be hitting the running back so hard? That's why. That's why. Because I'm tired of the pretty boys getting all the fluff.
So what people don't know is a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. But, man, you played against some of the greatest running backs in the history of football.
Sure did.
Man.
Laid them down, too.
Man. Well, not Barry Sanders.
Earl, I come across the table and slap the taste out your mouth. He was the main one, Earl. We're going to have to get this computer and pull up some stuff for you, Earl. Because obviously you don't understand what I'm... Oh, well, I forget you...
I'm a Lions fan.
Yeah, I forget you was a Lions fan.
Right.
I don't know how that happened. I really don't know how that happened. But let me break it down to you a little bit, Earl. The Detroit Lions... I'm from Detroit. I was never a Detroit Lion fan at all, ever. I was a Eric Dickerson fan. Wherever team Eric Dickerson played on, that was my team. So if it was the Rams, the Colts, whatever it was, that was my team. Okay? So if you sit up there and you're looking at these Detroit Lions, the only thing connection I can say I had with the Detroit Lions is my number 93. I chose that number because Detroit at the time had an exceptional run stopper by the name of Jerry Ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Number 93.
I remember Jerry Ball. Yeah.
That's why I wore number 93 is because of Jerry Ball.
Really?
Are we going to break again?
Yeah, man.
How many breaks? We got a lot of bills we got to pay or something. Well, but we got to keep the lights on here.
Yeah, well, you know how it go when the music start playing.
Hey, I heard it. That's the break.
Hey, so you can't let the music play on, as Barry White would say. We gotta go to a break.
Detroit Lions and Motown fan, are you?
Yeah. So okay. When we get back,
okay,
we'll continue the conversation.
I'm still waiting on somebody to call.
Under the helmet. Because
Earl
the
killing
digger.
Me.
We'll be right back. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And you are joining Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger and Earl Ingram, which will be appearing every Monday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Let somebody know. And even over and above all those things, 844-967-2789. It's your time to spend with the Grave Digger. Let's go to Rico. Hey, good morning, Rico. How you doing, man? You're the first up. You got a question or comment for the Grave Digger?
First comment, man. I love this show. I'm looking forward to Mondays now. Got the great Earl Ingram and the great Grave Digger. This is going to be great, guys. I'm loving this. But I got a question for Gilbert. We all know him as a defined defensive player that he was, but it seems to me, if my memory serves me right, and I'm getting a little old, didn't they hand the ball off to you once or twice? It seems to me like you actually got to run the ball a few times, if I remember right. And I'll get my answer off air.
No, I think that was the refrigerator Perry.
But I thought they gave it to Gilbert.
I'm only joking. Go ahead.
Rico.
Yeah.
Hey, man, first of all,
I hear you.
Thank you for calling in and getting me some break from Earl. First of all. Second of all, no, I never got the ball, man. That Mike Holmgren didn't believe in letting the big boys eat. You know, he gonna keep giving the balls to all the pretty boys and let them do their thing, man. Only time I can get to eat is at Burger King when I had that hamburger.
Yeah. Did they fake you one time? It seems like they ran you out there and they kind of threatened them with you.
No, Rico, there was they would never put me in the backfield because I would never get out. Because then I would think I was Jerome Bettis or somebody. Thanks for the question, though. Right. Thanks for the question,
yeah,
though, Rico.
Man.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Rico. Thank you.
Thank you very much being the first caller, man. We'll always remember that.
You are now in the record books, Rico.
Let's do this. Let's bring up the next caller.
Oh, we got another one.
Hey, listen, man.
Earl, I bet you ain't never had this many calls this early in the morning until I got on your show.
Well, you'll soon find that.
Soon find that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Dave from Mech One. Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You're the Grave Digger, man.
Good morning, Earl, and good morning, Mr. Brown. It's just awesome to have you on the show.
Wait a minute, Dave.
I like what Dave
Mr.
Charles.
Brown.
Thank you, Dave.
You don't ever say Mr. Earl.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, listen, he's a new guest.
Thank you. Dave, you ain't got to explain nothing to him. Go ahead and do what your question, man. You do what you do.
I got to ask him a personal question. So it's like we're kind of living the whole drama with Aaron Rodgers potentially going to the New York Jets. God. Do you think that's going to happen?
Oh, God.
The second thing is, have you given any tips to our guy in the middle with any of the – did you help him at all, I should say, as far as giving any tips there along the defensive line over there?
Are you talking about the starter now?
He talking about Kenny Clark.
Oh, yeah, that's a monster.
Yes, Kenny Clark, yes. Yep.
Okay, first of all, what did you say the first question was? You know, I've been hitting the head. I'm trying to get that concussion money.
Oh, yeah. If you think that Aaron Rodgers has got a potential
going to
the Jets, what happened with Favre, with Buddy Favre?
This weekend, I was up in Madison doing an RV show, and I had me a sign, and I just hold it up and said, "Don't ask." You know how many times I was asked about Aaron Rodgers. I said, "Hey, man, I'm just like y'all. I don't know what the deal is." I tell you this, though. Everybody got to understand something. We are having this conversation because we lost Davante Adams. If we did not lose Davante Adams, we would not have these conversations. I might lose my key to the back door talking about them Packers, but I'm a grown man. I don't care. If you take that talent away, you got to replace that talent with above or better talent. You can't just take that talent away and expect it come from the backyard somewhere. You got to have talent to match up with talent. And that's what not – now, at the end of the season, the receivers start picking up. Everybody, the play start picking up. Now we start looking like a team again. But – it all goes to show you talent needs talent to breathe.
So give it.
I was just going to say one thing. And to his point, can you imagine the rookies, how much they would have learned from Davante Adams had he been still on the team?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, holy smokes.
I mean,
he would have been a huge mentor.
Yes. It's just, it's been a...
passing down the knowledge.
It's been always a pass down of knowledge. Pass down of knowledge from Reggie White to me. Pass down the knowledge of Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Now it should have been passed down knowledge from Davante Adams to the young guys, but it didn't happen. So our team has always been a pass down of knowledge because greatness started the knowledge. You see what I'm saying? And to your other question, I love me some Kenny Clark. I had time. We had did a cruise together, and it was a pack
of
cruise.
Was there enough food on?
We ate them all out. They had to go out. They had to throw some lines out of the water, get some more fish and everything. But I had a chance. It was a year or two ago, and I had a chance to sit down with him. Man, he picked my brain. I picked his brain. And I love me some Kenny Clark, man. They needed to get him some help because it's kind of like how I was with Santana Dotson. We were like buddy cops. You know what I'm saying? You need that type of talent to thrive. You need somebody to take some of the heat off of you. And I was that guy. I took the heat off of all them pretty boys. You know what I'm saying? Took it off from Reggie, Santana, and Sean Jones. But it's to the point where you got to know your role and do it.
So let me ask you, Gilbert, because you said that the reason that they're talking about all of this with Aaron Rodgers is because Davante Adams is gone. I watched all the Packer games.
No, I'm not saying all of it. Okay. I'm saying his play. I'm gonna put it out there. If he had Davante Adams, we would be looking at another MVP season.
So I will say to you that the Packers' defense, which they heralded
as the greatest defense, Earl said
all year it was going to be the greatest defense. They spent all that money on defense.
Okay.
And defense started off, Gilbert, early on. They weren't what everybody led them up to be. What happened? I mean, true.
Earl, I'm going to hit you with this keyboard. You talk about my defense. You know what, man? It's the scheme. It's the scheme. You got to believe in the scheme in order for it to work. You got to have the players
in order for the scheme.
No, they did not. No, they lost guys from the jump. Or they mismanaged or put a guy here when he's supposed to have been somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? At the end of you got a guy playing safety. Then they finally move him to corner. Oh, there he go. There he go. That's where he belong. No, we got to make the right choices and the right defense.
Those two guys they got from Alabama early on, those.
When did he start starting? When did they finally let the defensive lineman start from was it Alabama?
Arkansas.
I thought it was Georgia.
Georgia. Where, but those two cats, man.
When did he start starting, though? He didn't start starting until late in the season because they had a kid, what's his name, Lowry? I call him Season Sauce. Yeah, I call him Season Sauce. They put Season Sauce in there. And Season Sauce, I don't like talking bad about folks, but I ain't seen Season Sauce play a double team yet. You know what I'm saying? So then you got the other kid coming now. And at the end of the season, because I think Season Salt got hurt, and now we start playing defense. You see what I'm saying?
You know, the Packers have spent a lot of money on their defense. Their defensive backs, they drafted on the first round over the last 3-4 years, mm-hmm. some of the best defensive backs that were out there. And they really arguably had the best defensive backfield. In football.
I love me some Jair Alexander. Oh, my God.
Not just him.
Come on. But I love him, though. To me, he's the leader of the defensive backs just because of his play. I love the way he shut down old boy from Minnesota. What's his name? Jeffries or whatever name is. Shut him down, did his move on him, and said, what? You know what I'm saying? That type of attitude we need, man. See, people think the Green Bay Packers, oh, it's Green Bay. They up there. They soft, man. The boy's soft, man. No, we not, homeboy. Come on down here and figure that.
Yeah, listen, man. I'll clearly say to you that the Packers spent more money on defense than I've ever seen them spend.
Yeah, but offense always wins, though. The offense took all the money.
Well, they got great running backs.
Offense took all the money.
They got great linemen.
Offense took all the money.
You mean from?
Period. Offense got. If you look at the money, first of all, you're gonna say, "Oh, this is what we paying Aaron Rodgers." He made.
I know.
Aaron Rodgers defense. You see what I'm saying? That's where all the money is. But hey. If you a 3-time, 4-time MVP, damn it, that's what you deserve.
Okay, so Kenny Clark,
bad man,
and you know the other guy mm-hmm. who was with them, and they let him go, number 55.
Mm.
I forgot
Zadarius.
Zadarius
went to Minnesota, and which I think Minnesota about to let him go from there too. Cost too much.
Oh, he's. Well, what do you mean cost too much?
He cost too much. And that's why they're going to let him go. He's a hell of a player. But at the end of the day, money is king. It's a business.
I got that.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand.
And I love Zadarius. He did the grave digger one time for me. Out there at Lambeau Field. I almost jumped out my seat and pulled a back muscle.
I guess I didn't realize until I started watching him with the Vikings.
Yeah.
He's still a relatively young player, right?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I don't know what his age is.
About 31, somewhere.
That's still a little young.
Yeah, but you think that whatever he was asking for was more than
his contract. So it's not like year one is good, but usually it increases year after year. You know what I'm saying? Once you get to that top number or year four, oh man, we got to pay this dude to get rid of him.
So. The football has evolved when it comes to that cap.
Yes.
The cap around when you were there?
Yeah, cap's always been around.
Okay. So, I mean, the cap has increased now. I think they said 216.
Yeah. It has to increase so you can get more people under the cap.
Yeah.
So it has to increase every year.
And then they got to bring the lawyers in to figure out how to move stuff around.
Oh, yeah, the dudes in the suits that they never put their hand in the dirt. Yeah. And the people in the front office, they never put their hand in the dirt.
You know, so what's your projection or prediction next season? If let's say, worst case scenario, Jordan Love becomes the quarterback. You've seen him. You know him.
Yeah, I know. I love him.
He's a confident young man.
Yes, he is.
He has talent,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is.
or they wouldn't have kept him around all this. I mean, he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers, and nobody can expect him to be that, right?
He's going to have his faults, man. He got to grow into that position by playing. You know, I don't know how many years he's been sitting there now.
4 years.
So you got to understand how long Aaron Rodgers sat. Four years. You see what I'm saying? But and during that time, people always say, well, Brett Favre never helped Aaron Rodgers. Yes, he did. He helped Aaron Rodgers mature in those 4 years to be, and I'm pretty sure he'll say, to be a player like he is today. And I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is doing the same
with Jordan Love.
But is it time to let go? I don't think it's going to be smart enough just because of the cap number. Ain't nobody going to take that number. That's a lot of money.
It's $60 million.
That's a lot of money, man.
What you made, right?
But Jordan Love, is he going to sit and wait for two more years? How fair is that to him?
Well, that's not going to be the reason they make the decision, is it?
I don't know.
Would that have some impact on them making the decision?
Till they give me a check that say I'm in the front office, I don't know.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789.
Call me.
Under the helmet with the grave digger on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Microphone off. Stop turning my microphone off, Connor.
All right.
Oh, we back on there? Okay.
Yeah, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Under the helmet with the grave digger. You know, Gilbert, you and I were talking off the air, and people may... there are people who probably are in your camp.
I don't think I'm qualified to be talking about any Aaron Rodgers stuff. I don't think I'm qualified.
I'm not going to talk about Aaron Rodgers stuff.
I don't think I'm qualified because I'm going to mess around. They're going to have me with Stephen A. Smith with that big forehead talking about something else. No, I ain't say that.
Listen, man, I want to talk about football, period, because youth football is under assault. It's under attack.
Is it really?
Yeah. And so people want to kill youth football because everybody talking about concussions, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I ran a football league for many years, mm-hmm. and I know the impact that football has on young boys.
Yes.
Right? I mean, when people want to scare moms away and say, you know, the kids shouldn't be playing tackle football.
Earl, I have to explain something to you. You know, when you get to your long, dried out question, I've been and forgot what I say. I've been hitting the head a few times. And for all of us, for me and you to thrive, get to where you got to get to.
So what's your thought?
I love you, Earl. I swear I do.
What's your thought, man, about youth football, the impact that it has on young boys?
I'm going to tell you this up front, Earl. And sometimes, you know, mama say you got to stand and straighten it. It starts in practice. It starts with these coaches. That's where it starts. Because you can't coach a kid like you used to coach me. You can't do that. That day is gone. All them hits, all them trying to see who's tough, that's gone, man. You gotta let the kids breathe. And the only way you can do that is by understanding, because some of the kids, when they play, if they're not tackling with their head up, it's a concussion, period. And some coaches are, oh, yeah, you got to make the big hit. You got to do this. No. It should be a compliance or somebody walking around watching or you got to film and send it in practices, because that's the only way you're going to make it safe for the one game that they play. It starts in practice. Everything starts in practice. And then you got you got these parents. If your kid's sorry, you gotta just man up and say, my kid is sorry, man. God dog. I gotta put in extra at home. You know what I'm saying? But they bring that to the field. You see what I'm saying? And then into the games. Why ain't my kid playing? Well, the coach can't turn around and say, your son suck. That's why he can't play. No. You gotta be able to take it just as how you dish it out. It all starts in practice, and in order for them to keep this thing going, it has to be a certain way of how you practice.
So, Gilbert, early on in your day,
yeah,
in my day,
yeah,
head up.
No, they ain't care about all that, Earl.
I know.
What's that drill when they lay you on your back and one got the ball? What's that? Is that that drill that made many people put up their helmets.
The nutcracker.
Y'all call it the nutcracker. Right. We call it the Michigan drill, whatever it was.
Yeah.
See, let me explain it to y'all. You got, it's several that'll make you just turn your stuff in now. They put you on your back. Got another guy on his back. Either one got the ball.
Blow the whistle.
They pop up, and either whoever got the ball got to run the dude over, and whoever wants, you got to tackle. O-M-G. That's a grown man. They don't do that no more. I think they outlawed that one.
Not in some youth football.
Well, they need to, man, because you lost a lot of kids. I seen bad dudes look like Hulk Hogan. After that drill, they say, hey, man, I'm done. No.
You know, Gilbert, I just think that what football can bring to a young boy's life in the way of discipline.
Yes.
We don't need to lose football because people don't understand the changes that have taken place, right?
Let me explain something to you. As a young cat myself playing this game, football taught me so much. It taught me how to share. It taught me how to make friends of people I don't even know. It taught me that if I'm somewhere, I got backup. I got another brother with me that's not going to let nothing happen to me. Usually, when I do all my bully talks in all these schools and stuff, it's the football team that brings the little kid in. Don't you mess with him no more. He one of us. You know what I'm saying? Them guys usually be water boys or whatever, or they might try to come out and play for the team. Be a kicker. You know what I'm saying? Football does so much for so many. It's like a brotherhood. It's like gaining another family, and people don't understand that.
You know, man, I ran a league for 20 years with 800 boys.
That's why you got all that gray hair, Earl.
Well, my head just turned gray since you and I have been sitting here today. So, but what I will say, man, is not just the star players.
Mm-hmm.
It's even a guy like me who didn't get in the game much.
Mm-hmm.
I learned the same lessons.
Yeah.
Football and that brotherhood and the fraternity of it.
Yes.
It far outweighs the game.
It's strong, man. And people don't realize that how much a sport, especially a team sport, can change lives. And I'm so grateful for it.
You know, man, I can't believe we've run out of time.
Is it getting that time already?
For the first segment of Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger. What do you want to say to the people, man?
I'm going to tell them like I told you since we on air, and I can look at you and tell you. Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari, shiny Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother. Hey, Wisconsin, I see you next Monday, baby.
That's the one and only Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown himself. We'll be back on next Monday, but other than that, we'll be back.
You sure about that, Earl?
Yeah, man.
Okay, we're going to get you some hair color for all that.
Yeah.
Your new name, Salt Pepper.
Well, Fred Sanford. 844-967-2789. Gotta go to a break. We'll be right back. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams.
Big Sandy.
Be right back.